Oh, we've all journeyed through the underworld to get here. I will explain my micro-macro story as well. But congratulations and thank you all for coming for this rousing Renaissance launch at this crucial time in history. We're here to dree our weird, which means to play our role in destiny. So the summer solstice is traditionally the wedding time. It's the wedding of all that's been falsely estranged, science and mysticism, science and compassion, head and heart. These are all democracies. They love each other equally. It's not, oh, I'm done with my head. No, everybody, we want everything. So, yes, may we have Muti from the Sangomas of South Africa. Muti means power and medicine. True power is that which heals. We call it in with the Muti. And may it be, we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, that we all be agents tossing lightning at the closed loop of the story circle with Coyote and creating a liberating spiral from that. Yes, so it is an incredibly quirky, shape-shifty, anything-could-happen time. So the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint, which is why we are all here today. I like to say, unlikely in the known Muggle universe makes it really likely in the whatever that word was, in the whatever it is, in the multiverse, in the whatever it was. Anyway.
Yay!
So we know that humans have gathered, you know, for 20,000-30,000 years at the summer solstice, you know, and so that we can feel that behind us to call in what is needed at a time of dire beauty. And then what is unique to this solstice, which is a full moon just behind us as well. So the moon at its height, the sun at its height, truly a wedding of equals. So guys, we are here to dreaming the world into being full on magic time with the MIA inaugurating Flora Fauna 2016. I even have bumper stickers. They're in front of the watermelon. Watermelon, because we're inaugurating our guiding story no matter what, to animate the desirable story. And whoever supports that, good. But, you know, but we're going this way. There we go. So, and with wonderful longtime ally, Amikayla Gaston. Yay. All that's been liberating, we know really the mythic news is the only news to trust. Coyote Network news or make up your own. So those are all perfectly wonderful. We are, part of what we're re-wedding also is activism with animism and vice versa. We are animistic activists and activists on behalf of animism, meaning everything's alive. It's more than perfect that we humans can't solve the innumerable crises we've inflicted on our kin by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So, you know, The Death and Resurrection Show is a wonderful book. I think Rob has one copy behind doors somewhere. Do you? Yeah? Yeah, it's Rowan. Anyway, but The Death and Resurrection Show, it's his history of the entire impulse behind gathering in theater, which is it was always to call in Venus magnetizing what is needed. You know, at the solstice and equinoxes, you know, what's going on there around the world where the, you know, oh, literal and symbolic light of sun illuminate this writing or this picture at the back of the cave. You know, come on in power and animate this story. So that's what we're here to do. We want cultural hijinks, all kinds of things dedicated to liberating. I love the guy in Texas who hacked the road signs and put up, you know, instead of, you know, traffic ahead, it said, Trump is a shape-shifting serpent. but we do want, you know, cultural hijinks. We want to invite, you know, the disturbed creativity in unwelcome places to overhear, you know, calling all cultural hijinks, all underworld skills to join the good team. So, yeah, so how did I get here? I think it's only fair to say, because Trickster is scheduling our life. So I was, in a positive way, lured here by, you know, come give a talk at the Fairfax Echo Fest last Saturday. And I thought, okay, I'll do that, and then I'll do this here tonight, and I'll fill things in between, but somehow they didn't, you know. So when I arrive in San Francisco Airport a week ago Friday, I go, uh-oh, having an attack of some kind, made my way, I'll spare some of the details. But must get back, and then go and lie down on the wheelchair-accessible ladies' room floor for several hours, unable to move, and I go, that's very underworld. That's a kind of tarot card of hitting bottom. Until I finally realized, and this is important for all of us, that I wasn't going to get out of that alone, right? Nobody gets out of the underworld alone, and I finally had to admit, it took me a long time to ask for help. And then some kind lady, hello out there, said, hello, do you need any help in there? I go, I might need some help. And then she called a cop, and the cop came and said, oh, I sometimes, you know, have pain there. I should get it checked out. And they go, yes, you should. And then the EMT guys came, and they were a really skillful ambulance, you know, and it's all Obamacare, right? Oh, yeah, sure, we'll worry about that later. Mm-hmm. Into the ambulance, and the EMT guys, just very competent angels, again, magic is everywhere, into a fantastic hospital. If you ever have to have an unscheduled emergency, I highly recommend Peninsula Hospital in Burlingame. Really, it's a magic place, aside from the faux-flavored strawberry jello, and the enormous quantities of plastic that medicine generates. Aside from that, so swoosh into the hospital, no mention of money, no mention of forms, just right there, okay, ultrasound, you get to see the deep oceanic mystery of all organs, like things swimming by, going, what's that? Whoa. Jolly guy doing the ultrasound, I would have married him, very charming. Look at that, and a wonderful doctor comes in and goes, you know, I think you might want to, I think you're going to reschedule your trip. And I go, well, can I go to Fairfax tomorrow night and give my talk and then come back? And he's go, no, because you might die. And I'm like, give a talk in Fairfax or die. Okay, let me think. Oh, well, all right, here we go. And then wonderful friends on the phone going, you know, herbal things might not, you know, surgeons only know how to take out stuff. And I go, well, yeah, that's important too. And then the head of the surgical backup team comes up and says, all dressed in green and purple. They're all dressed in green and purple. And says, my name is Merlin, and I'll be your guide. I'm like, we're going in. You know, hello, herbal team. That's a wonderful adventure. We're going in. The auguries are good. But here we go. And wonderful surgeon woman who was just getting out of surgery and going back in, but all very much like Tina Fey. Because Tina Fey also addresses the issue of, you know, our tone. She says, it's not very reassuring if your surgeon comes up to you going, I'm your surgeon today? Anyway, so she didn't, she was like, hi, and then here's a diagram, and here's a little thing, and that's that thing, and I go, all right, we'll go. And so we headed in, and I go, anesthesia, I love anesthesia. I've done a number of readings for anesthesiologists, and they are all very Neptune deep wizards. They're beauty and danger. They're really good at navigating. So there was great magic, and then wheeled me into a quite beautiful room, and there we go. And the next morning they were like, oh, we're discharging you. I'm like, really? I'm really ready to stay here for quite a while. I'm actually not delinquent. There's nothing else I'm supposed to be doing. I love this. And then wonderful friend, ally that I was going to stay with anyway, but she didn't know how long. Picks me up and takes me to this fabulous place where I stay. Thank you forever. And I'm going, no, I'll be fine. Go out to the Giants game. That's too great a sacrifice. Go there. So off they went. And I just lay under it was a warm night, and I exposed my little belly under the moon and Jupiter and the whole sky's pattern. I was like, right. And I had a divine vision of the saying that will get us through everything. For radio, I'm going to spell it F-O-L-K-I-N-G. We wonder how it's all folking perfect. Anyway, you can reverse the thing. You know, it's very useful to keep in your magic backpack, just to pull it out at any point, going, we wonder how it's... Because, in fact, aside from the ordeal, which I lengthened due to my resistance to asking for help, everything else, the redemption, the journey out of the underworld, was so beautiful and so wonderful and so supportive. And it reminds us of what we want. You know, right now, Saturn, structure, discipline, is trining Uranus, coyote wildness. And in nature, where we see this is wolves and coyotes are mating with a little bit of dog DNA to create this new species. which is an evolutionary adaptogenic species. Because wolves are very Saturn, right? Very pack, very structured, very disciplined, incredible. You know, many of us may have seen the wonderful picture of wolves traveling in single file, and they put the elders and the infirm in front to set the pace, and then wolves have jobs, wolves have jobs, wolves have jobs, and then at the end, the leaders. And we go, oh, that's very beautiful. So wolves, very pack. Coyotes, Uranus, no. No, very odd, I'm going to steal that, and I'm going to do that thing, and ingenious adaptability, but they're trining. And so the hybrid, you know, has an evolutionary adaptogen, which it invites us all to feel, to have a supportive pack, wolfiness, that encourages our unique coyote, right? And that's the wonderful thing. So I had a supportive pack come in. It was tremendous. And it reminds us of what all beings, all creatures on this planet should have, which is when you ask for help, may it be there. I mean, there's so many for whom it isn't. And how wonderful it is, the wolf pack of embrace of a competent creative team. And we go, ah. Oh. So we're all gathering, you know, what gets us through the underworld. And as I animate the chart of now that's guiding us, we go, you know, Jupiter, blessing, and Virgo, micro, and critique. You know, critique is healing. Dia-gnosis. If we put the hyphen in diagnosis, dia means everywhere, and gnosis is wisdom. So all diagnoses lead to healing, really. They conjure the wisdom. And that's also the model of, you know, to be critical and have high standards wants to be fundamentally dedicated to healing and to liberation. We might say it together about how we wonder how it's all folking perfect. We wonder how it's all folking perfect. There you go. Take that with you. A friend recently was asked, what is your definition of maturity? And he said, to have access to all of one's resources. I go, that's pretty good. And the astrological language is one of the beautiful languages that guides each individual, each person, into access to all resources. So, you know, cooperators are standing by, literally, once we ask for help. I mean, that's... I've been teaching that to other people for years, really. But we're all humbled and brought into authenticity now. All teachings really want to be embodied. So cooperators are standing by, some mythological, some planetary, some human. I have a wonderful watermelon here, which is sacred to Yemaya, whose day this is, Big Mama. It's the transition to Big Mama realm. What do we cultivate? And the watermelon reminds me also of, you know, our great ancestors, those who are beloved, who have passed on even this year. And it was many decades ago that Starhawk had a witch camp, and beautiful Margot Adler was there. She died last spring. I waved to her. But Margot was in her 40s and really wanted to conceive a child. So she was there on a boat, and some of us swam this watermelon out into the ocean, right? And in fact, apparently we got lost in the fog, and they're like, oh no, the priestesses got lost in the fog, oh, I'm put in the ground. And we offered the watermelon to Yemaya, and Margot got pregnant, and had a wonderful child. So we just want to wave hello to Margot. So let's call in all of our, yes, my ghost gallbladder, which got removed. There we go. Really cute little thing. And it's also our wonderful friend Jackie, who had many things removed and her vulva. And she was like, oh, I feel sort of maimed and not beautiful. And I go, no, your vulva has gone to spirit world. You know, and she's a wonderful artist. And I go, you could do Adventures of Spirit Vulva. And she goes, I'm on it. I'm really on it. So let's think of all of those whose organs might have left, you know, that they're willing and eager correspondents somewhere over there. Going, hello, Spirit Gallbladder. There you go. So we want to call in everything. Call in everything. Alegba, anything you want to say about Barathwaite?
Yes. So we want to call in Alegba. He's the keeper of the crossroads. He's the trickster. He's the baby and the old man all at the same time. He's the one with the has a banana peel at the bottom of it. So you want to make sure that when you go to a crossroads, you throw 3 pennies at the crossroads and say, Alegba, please open up the roads for us. And that's how you open up the roads. And so we call the song to him to open up the roads. Bye.
and our everything, we've called it back, and all of our medicine healing stories we've been gathering for all over that calls it in, calls it in, calls it in. Remember the opening saying on the pattern on the trestle board says, all the power that ever was or will be is here now. It's always somewhere, always somewhere. So call and response, darling.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So this is another way. This song is when you go into a beautiful spiritualist's house or anybody's house, really, and you want to say, everybody, we're here, we want to pay attention. It's another call to Legba. So repeat after me. You say, Ago Ile, Ago.
Ago Ile.
To open the roads to them so that they can speak to you clearly. So Spirit Gallbladder, hello.
Spirit
Vulva, hello. Spirit Margot's Watermelon, hello.
I go. And that reminds us, so many of these beautiful chants come to us from Cuba, where I first learned them. And one of the good things, again, about the Obama administration that we want to honor is the opening up of Cuba, with the protection that may Cuba influence America more than the other way around, may they keep their seeds safe. We're moving from Mercury realm right now, the full moon in Mercury Sagittarius right behind us. What are we willing to be a voice for? Where are we willing to be storytellers? You know, and then right behind us, and then the sun enters Cancer, Yamaya, Big Mama's realm. What are we willing to protect? You know, what are we willing to be agents of protection and call in protection? So Cuba, because of the restraints for so long, they couldn't import, so their seeds are fantastic, and they have all organic, and they have a fantastic seed sharing among farmers. May it be safe.
Yeah.
May it be safe. May it be safe. And again, may Cuba be safe. We also, I was hearing, listening to my DC buddy, Medea Benjamin, on KPFA. Yes, there's some good things there. You know, and she was also saying, you know, things that are worthy of praise of Obama, and she's not generous in that way necessarily, but she also said, you know, the hard-won Iran deal that everybody was so working on, the Iran peace deal, praise, praise. We want to, as part of our skill set, we discourage the bad, encourage the good. You know, because every time on Facebook I post, you know, Iran deal good, people go, yeah, but he's a murderer and a devil. We go, yeah, encourage the good, encourage the good. We are all dog whisperers, politician whisperers, going, hey, over here, direct the traffic. I'm wearing this fantastic dragon headpiece, not presuming to be dragon, but presuming to invite in dragon. And I love Ursula K. Le Guin says, those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians. So come on in, dragon. Come on in to everybody, dragon. Everybody's customized power. Vegans are invited to have a little canine. In The Wizard of Earthsea that a friend gave me, I'm rereading all of Ursula Le Guin's Earthsea books. They're really good. They're about the initiation of Mars, the initiation of the young wizard. You know, and at a certain point, the young wizard has left his authentic teacher to go to a kind of flashier school, and due to pride, he has he has opened up a rent in the world and invited in, you know, a dark hunting shadow. It's kind of like an election coverage thing. And it's pursuing him in order to possess him and, you know, do great horribleness in the world. So he goes back to his authentic teacher, who says, soon it will be time for the hunted to become the hunter. But first, in order to reverse that polarity, you must go back to the waterfall where you received your true name. Do not be like a stick whirled in the stream. Become the stream. You know, become the stream into the river, Oshun, into the ocean, Yamaya. And then go out and may the hunted be the hunter. Reverse that polarity. And so I like to encourage, you know, even again, vegans, just have little canines. Just a little bit of because there are so many opportunities now for sane reverence to reassume cultural narrative lead. So we know many of our themes before us, that there's the con man, the con, and the trickster, the trick. The con is that which imprisons, the trickster is that which liberates, right, just for my own affinity and definition. So everyone really does want to know the con, right? That's the movie Thunderheart, all Norwegian dark mysteries, everything, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Everybody wants to know the economic con. Everyone wants to know how they're being had. Now, the monstrosity known as Donald Trump, you know, is here's how you're being conned, and it's those people, right? It's the murderous mob mind that we want to suck the chi out of like a giant blancmange so it deflates and goes off stage, you know? But again, it's people want to know how they're being conned, and, you know, the Bernie part of the team is like, here's how we're all being conned, and this is what we're all going to do. You know, let's go. So, you know, and Hillary, somewhere in the conversation, coming in, maybe so, okay. So the con versus the trick, you know, the toxic mimic versus the authentic, this is such a crucial theme throughout time. You know, Lewis Hyde says, coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school him or her. So we're very lucky, right? Again, it's about the kind of agility and playfulness. And see, the coyote likes a little adversity, a little danger. It's quite okay. But the things I love to use just on, because we all want to honor our own selves where we are cons, right? And where we want the liberating trick. So I love a wonderful friend of mine years ago, I keep it always, says, when people flatter you, they're paying you for what they're about to take. Which is just really fun, right? Because, see, flattery is the con, the toxic mimic, of praise, which is the authentic nutrient. And see, our wise inner coyote knows the difference. It can feel the texture. But that's just fun. I also highly recommend a book I read a million years ago. We're calling in everything that's ever been useful to us. A fantastic science fiction book called The Futurological Congress by Stanislaw Lem. Anybody here read it? Oh, it's so good. It's so prescient. But it's so, briefly, it's a world in which everyone's on pharmaceuticals. And for everything. If you want to feel anger, you take Furiol. If you want to be literary, Prustiac, whatever. But there's also what's called mass cons in the water and the air, right? And by mistake, the protagonist takes the antidote and sees everything as it really is. You know, toxic mimic pizza, toxic mimic this, toxic mimic that, goes, whoa! And so we want to be agents of the antidote of the mass con. You know, so there's a lot of ways, you know, I like making these distinctions. You know, what is imprisoning and what is liberating? So I find earnestness, for me, imprisoning. Nobody feels the pain of the earth more than me. I go, imprisoning con. You know, and as opposed to dedicated sincerity, liberating. It's got a different texture to the dynamic. Sarcasm, it means to bite and to harm, and is a con. Irony is a liberating trick. Irony, the study said that to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they have the capacity for compassion. And I love that because that's like, what? But to be ironic, you have to be holding at least two stories at once. Usually what is, what should be, what is, what people are pretending it is, and in the discrepancy, that's trickster fuel, in discrepancy. And to be compassionate is to be able to hold two, three, four, more and more stories simultaneously, going, that's why they did that. They're in that movie. There we go. So I am fond of saying, and I think it's good to say it now too, the situation is so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. I said that once to a seatmate on a plane who was Homeland Security. She said, "You have no idea how true that is." So part of calling it in and availing ourselves of our skill set, we say metaphor is the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. Metaphor is the magnetizing template. We might say, you know, the gods, the goddesses are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. But shape-shifting, you know? As I was lying under the moon, going, right, what would I have Bernie say? We want to be snookered into polarity is a con, because polarity feeds the Dementors, right? There's Dementors feed on conflict. Ursula Le Guin again says, we strengthen whatever we resist. So to be snookered into polarity is a con. Remember John Michael Greer says, if you want people to get nothing done but hot conflict, convince them they're on one side of something. You know, Hillary, not Hillary. Bernie, Hillary. No, get out. Trump, get in. It's like, no. What two needs is three, which is the unifying story. We're all in this thing together. And we're animating this desirable story. And everybody's welcome. There we go. So I was saying, you know, what would I have Bernie say at this crucial moment? I'd have him say that, you know, again, James Carson's wonderful book, Finite and Infinite Games. The finite game is about winning. Infinite game is about keeping everything in play. It's about the Renaissance. And he says the Renaissance was not primarily against something. It was an irresistible, magnetizing invitation to the ingenious goodness of everybody. Come on over here. This is what we're doing. And that's really what he's doing. And it's pretty impressive. I'm looking at his chart, and Jupiter right now overhead is at 15 Virgo. When Bernie Sanders was born, his sun is at 15 Virgo. Jupiter Virgo is about healing medicine stories. I just think he is so dreaming his weird. The speech he gave in Washington, D.C. a couple Thursdays about, you know, was really about electing a guiding story and going infinite game of liberating blessing. And it was so impressive. I like thinking of everybody as a wizard, you know, and right now, wizardess, you know. But he was a wizard of bringing everything crucial up before the global citizenry. And of all politicians I've known, I go, whoa, he's really good. We remember that we all have our magic mirror. You know, the secular critic part of all of us holds up the mirror and goes, look, it sucks in detail, which is an important first step, right? And then with a wave of the hand, turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. With another wave of the hand, turns it into a door. Let's go there now, right? So Bernie really does that. He goes, here's the sucks, and here's what we go do, and let's go the thing. And I go, that's he's a skillful wizard, you know, and shape-shifting, and we love that. So something I also took with me from a beautiful walk by the Potomac River where I live, again, saying hi to all water here, to all water in D.C. So we are cross-pollinating, again, D.C. and California, literally, and also what they symbolically mean. They need each other. Everything needs each other, left and right hemispheres, art and mind, I mean, all of that. And led on this kind of animistic nature walk. It was great. They led me to a secret place that I hadn't been in years and years and didn't remember. And then I go, ooh. And I was by the waterfall. I was by the waterfall in the Wizard of Earthsea. I was sitting on a rock in the waterfall. I go, I'm there. I've been talking about that part of the book for weeks now. You must go to the waterfall. And there, you know, do not be a stick and all that stuff. And I go, I have that image. And now the molecules, I'm in that image. It's so great. And I am, on your behalf, going to both conventions. And I think maybe having your gallbladder removed is necessary before. Maybe it's like having a tetanus shot, you know. But before you go forth to the RNC and the DNC, first we recommend having your gallbladder removed. So as I was in the waterfall, I was going, right, inviting in. Inviting in, oh, water, come with me into the conventions. You know, I do this a lot when I go to underworld, you know, toxic places. I'm going, come on in. Who wants to be invited? You know, we're the invited. There was a little frog. I go, frog, I haven't seen you in so long. You know, and, oh, frog, you know, the gift of being camouflaged when necessary. Thank you very much. And everything just sort of speaking. And then as I was lying there, something landed in my arm, and I went, ah, only too late to see this beautiful dragonfly that I had sent off. I'm like, oh, I'm very sorry. And then the next moment something landed in my arm, and I did not do that. I was like, oh. And it was this fabulous monarch butterfly that spent about 5 minutes dancing up and down, going, hello, we like you, hello, we like you, I love you. And so what it gave me, thank you, dragonfly and monarch butterfly, is if we quell our reaction into a response, quelling reaction into response medicine. So it's not the, it's like, you know, it really doesn't take much longer, right? And so reaction is a con. If we love freedom to react to anything, you know, it's understandable, right? But it's a prison, you know, and it's a portable prison for ourselves and others. It's like carrying around an old script that we're compelling people to, we're hiring people to annoy us, right? Into a reaction. But to cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses, that's the liberating trick. Because then we're aligned with nature's ingenious evolutionary dynamic. So thank you, dragonfly and butterfly. Yeah. Thank you, dragonfly and butterfly.
Can I tell a story right now, really quick, about the ultimate con and having many responses?
Yes.
I was asked to be on this panel with the Grand Wizard of the KKK.
Wow.
And we were sitting backstage, and the curtain was closed, and we're about to go on TV, and he's sitting next to me in all of his regalia, and I'm sitting next to him, and I'm supposed to be the rah, rah, racism sucks, and he's his little, you know, mom, KKK. And I was sitting back there, and I was like, I wonder what this would be like if we were just, like, hanging out at a bar. You know, would we have this same kind of, rah, rah, you know, pitted against one another?
Headdresses. Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, wow, how do you keep that so white? That's amazing. I kid you not. I changed the storyline, honey. And he was like, Clorox girlfriend. He just got real, like, come on. And I was like, see, I knew you, you know. But then the curtains open and he had to, but it was such an interesting moment to have a different immediate response, just to see who he was beneath all of that. It was powerful.
It's crucial. It's a crucial skill we take with us, absolutely. Because when I was part of Pacifica's team in the 04 conventions, you have Radio Row, everybody's hand, and so right next to us was Hate Radio, and they're like, hey, nah, hate, and then they go up and go, anybody want coffee? Anybody want coffee? Here's your coffee, and I'm back to the hate. Backstage, on stage, very important, and part of the beauty of mythology and the astrological language is whatever we speak to one another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, so bonding over Clorox.
Yeah. That's
good. You know, and even, you know, this is neighborhood levels, you know, again, it's all micro, macro, it's all of that that we want to dedicate this day, this night, this season, you know, to being agents of the, you know, liberating self and others from the con, you know, and agents of the liberating trick. And that means even the tyrant. Remember, all the compassionate tricksters are willing to save the land and liberate everybody, even the tyrant who has hardened their heart. Not counting on it, right? Not counting on it, just willing. And, you know, and we have ongoing building tyrant kerfuffles in my cute little neighborhood outside D.C. And, you know, at one point, I was just going, a lot of, yeah, because every house that gets sold is a tear down. I'm holding on by its little fingernails, going, no, we will stay here as a defiant witch's house in the midst of these monster boxes cropping up. But so the Iranian builder was like, oh, and it's shoveling great mounds of dirt, and I just went to go look. That is it funneling rain at my house? I don't know. And I talked to his workman, perfectly nice. And then he came up behind me, and he's like, you, out of the car. You talk to my workman. You must never talk to my workman. I go, we had a very civil exchange. Oh, and he goes, if you call the county, I will chainsaw every bit of green, you know, in your property. And I'm like, no, they got me, right? They got me into reactivity. I even think I said, this is what's wrong in the Middle East. You know, I mean, they got me. And I was like, whoa, boy, that was good. I got conned by my own con. I got tricked into reactivity. But the next time I saw him, I was like, hello, my friend. Right? And he's like, hello, which is very Middle Eastern and Persian. You know, hello, my friend. And a little ironic twinkle of, you know, backstage, onstage camaraderie. And now we are. We are friends. Every now and then I go, hello, my friend. Hello, my friend. So I think, you know, it is becoming quite clear the vision that is wafting in the memosphere, awaiting our willingness to animate, magnetize, you know, and metaphor. The word metaphor means to carry across borders. It's the no-conflict Bernie Renaissance School of Educational Collective Healing. Again, ongoing in myriad ways in which everybody contributes their medicine to the desirable story. You know, if you're a doctor, we were talking to everybody, going, what would you like that structure to be? How does the dedication grow the structure? Everybody has something to add to the narrative, and we want to grow the forms whereby we contribute this. So it's an ongoing, this entire year, and forevermore, really an ongoing Renaissance education of what's desirable. And that also brings us to part of our negotiating skills that we get to practice and take away tonight. And it's the art of did you know? And I can even spell it D-I-D-J-A-N-O-O-O. But it means the art of did you know? And my same wise friend who said about, you know, flattery being prepayment, she also said it was the first Gulf War when the bombs were dropping, and I was invited to an artist's salon. I go, okay, we must stop this thing. But to my kind of, everybody was mouthing platitudes, like, well, there was no choice, and at least the bombs are smart. And I'm like, no! I did get into a reactive state. And I was like, the purpose of artists is there's always more choices. And people were like, who do you think you are? So my friend said, you know, people never mind being asked, did you know? Did you know the Kuwaitis were slant drilling oil into Iraq? Did you know? Did you know that bacteria have already solved all of the major crises that we humans are facing? Did you know? Provided that before we ask that question, we use our Perumphitude composter, which you also have invisibly under your chair, to take with you, which is essential to compost Perumphitude into nutrient for a shared story before one speaks. Because we all know the Scorpio part of ourselves that might say, you know, I was very polite to that person, and they flipped out. We go, no, that's not the whole story. You were like, hi, how are you? And inside, you're like, oh, I think you're a dingbat. And everybody gets that, right? So we wonder how whatever happens, how it's all fucking perfect, but also how we're scripting it in some way. So the infinite game, the invitational, you know, Renaissance that we're inaugurating is all-inclusive. Again, not counting, on it, but willing, and willing is a kind of invitation. So also, as I was lying under the stars in perfect post-op recovery, going right, and there was Mars retrograde in Scorpio. It's going backwards now. It stations on June 30th to go forward. It goes all the way back to 23 plus Scorpio. The image for that degree is delivering a sermon on a mount. May it be for all of us to have that. The Beatitudes remember in Aramaic what comes to us as blessed of the meek. In Aramaic, it's more like, and that's the language Jesus would have spoken, it's more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. You can really work with that. Much better than blessed are the meek. What do you get out of that? So the Mars in Scorpio was opposite Mercury in Taurus that night. And I go, right, you know, especially now, especially to the likes of ourselves, how good it is to gather, that we compost vitriolic vehemence, our Mars and Scorpio, which is the insight that's necessary, but then we can also get poisoned by the insight. You know, so many things, you know, many people, Hillary Clinton gives them conniption fits, going, and we go, right, easy, okay. We want to see everything, but compost the vitriol into Mercury and Taurus, into what does the Earth want from us? Compost it into nutrient to the Earth's guiding story. You know, there's a larger deal than just being that. Because, you know, we're heading into an election that's going to make Game of Thrones look gentle. So look kind of sweet with Mary Poppins, you know. And so to be agents, again, of composting vitriol, that we got to, you know, try this at home. A composting vitriol into rich compost nutrient for what does the Earth want of us? And to invite in, you know, over and over again, we are not being snookered into polarity, but magnetized into the desirable story, over and over. So it's an evolutionary invitation, really extended by beauty and danger, and that's again why the wolves and the coyotes are mating, to have the support of the pack, grow that, you know, for our uniqueness. Because, you know, throughout human history, we've had groups that kind of suppress the individual, right? Now we want groups that encourage the disciplined wildness of the individual, So we have a song to honor beauty and danger, do we? Yes, we do.
It's called "And the Oceans." And to the oceans, the rivers, the gentle breeze, the stormy thunder, the earth and crossroads, the earth and medicine, snow-capped mountains, and to all the elements, we give them our respect and our gratitude to be amongst them by whatever names they might be called or worshipped. Our humility is a gift and a birthright, as it is for every human, growing as a seed under light of sun and moon. Growing as a seed under light of sun and moon. Growing as a seed under light of sun and moon. Growing as a seed under light of sun and moon.
Big Mama, who is beautiful and dangerous. That's such a good song to feed us with. I was in Cuba a while back, and I'd always loved Santeria. I love Santeria for a lot of reasons. One is it's not kind of cozy archetypes like Jungians like to think of it. It's like, oh, it's just a little cozy archetype inside. No, it's a big force that you can call on. And I always had thought, you know, because in Santeria you are the particular child of someone. And so I thought, you know, ocean, I like Venus, flirty, but I thought, no, really, the ocean. And the diviner, Santero, as he became in Cuba, Enrique Sosa, and he was doing the shell divination, and it was so moving. He said, he didn't know anything about me, you know, and he goes, Oba is here, Oba's here, and she salutes you because she says her work is late at night with the stars, and she always tries to say the truth. And she knows that your work is like that too. I was like, this is so moving. and then Enrique asked, have you had a reading like this before? And I was like, well, I'm gonna miss it. Well, where are your necklaces? And I go, oh no, not quite like this. And he said, well, Yamaya is here and she claims you as her daughter. And so I went through, it was like, oh, I knew it. You know, I knew the thing. We love that call and response where it really is, what we hope is true, really is true. And I did go through the first initiation for that. And my sister, who was a little straighter than me, was a very good sport. Because they're like, same mother? Really? Well, we'll have to spray chicken blood on your sister. Very good sport. She was a very good sport. But he did say, Yamaya, Big Mama, the ocean, she loves you so much that you shouldn't go to her and sit by the shore if you're really sad, because she'll take you home. I'm like, okay, okay. Right, fair enough. Fair enough. Beauty and Danger, that's right. No swimming out too far. I go snorkeling, no scuba. Okay, all right. Again. So to craft beauty, Neptune dreams and vision is part of our vocabulary now. And it says, you know, each of us is entrusted with an evanescent dream of beauty, you know, a yearning. It might have gotten disappointed, but right now, this solstice, this time, is when Saturn squares Neptune, all 90-degree angles, all squares, you know, in our life, things perceived as conflict, are things that want to get back together again. Mm-hmm. Now, so part of the complexity of Saturn square Neptune, we get to ask many things. Where was realism versus the dream denied? Saturn often also carries our father's story. You know, and what we encourage or discourage in men. We go, did we encourage our fathers, men, to live their dream? Or were they disappointed? You know? And if so, you know, then it comes to us to re-wed, you know, dedication, actuality, and the ideal, and the dream, and the utopian. And to bring soulfulness back into every endeavor. And that is Saturn Sagittarius, we can think of as learning, and the journey of learning, and how learning is passed on. And Neptune in Pisces says all scientific knowledge was encased in myth and fairy tale to transport it and carry it down the generations. And once we got the alleged enlightenment, you know, science made a run for it, going, no mysticism, no symbolic who, no astrology, no hooey stuff, no. We're going over there, and we're going to put mackerel genes in this tomato because nobody's watching. There we go. And we go, no, science and soulfulness, that we're all in this dream together. You know, it's again, you know, I spoke of this last summer too, but I loved the Pluto mission last summer, where the scientists from NASA, more women working on the Pluto rocket project than any other NASA project, but they all spoke first unabashedly about their love for Pluto. Go, it's a planet, damn it. And they spoke with enormous affection about the rocket, you know, as though it were living. Because it was going to do this incredible thing. It was going to thread, you know, between Pluto and its largest moon. The underworld. The underworld guy. Chiron. Thank you. Charon. Thank you. Mythological resource in the room here. Charon. And the NASA public announcement, they said it's going to be the loneliest little rocket in the world. And we're really, because it's going to lose communication for a moment. But we put two symbolic things on that rocket. We put some of Clyde Tombaugh's ashes, he who discovered Pluto, so human ashes have left the solar system. And they said, and we're going to put a nickel, 5-cent piece, you know, on the rocket to pay Charon for safe passage. And it's like in traditional cultures, if somebody dies, you put a coin on their lips to pay Charon, right? And then when the rocket emerges and signals back, they go, it worked. We put a nickel, all this engineering, but we also put a nickel on just to make sure. Yes, that's the wonderful thing. That's the wonderful thing. You know, and also, again, you know, everything that's toxic out there, we can see that the worst of humans is being kind of invited and dredged up to the surface. So, as antidote, we are inviters of the best, right? And that's, again, the kind of Renaissance dynamic that we're all animating, and, you know, Bernie's, I think, a part of that thing. And see, to spiral around in a magnetizing vortex with the Hillary conundrum, we just go, here's the story, we're all contributing to it, this is the story of sane reverence, if you support that, we support you, but here's where we're going. And I think that is a genius strategy way to go. Now, and also, did you know that, you know, life on this planet thrives in the most diverse communities, mixed species communities, you know, that it's our strength, and that's where we're going. And the community of communities is part of that. And to track everything back to its liberating impulse before it got hoodwinked, before it got conned, you know, and offer ourselves to that, going all the way back. It's why etymology is so great. When we look up words in a good dictionary, it takes us back to this animistic, living, collaborative, vital magic of language. Our word inaugurate, right, comes from the augur, the diviner, in all of us, who would walk out into nature, and nature would reveal through her patterns the responsible human, who would then be inaugurated. That's where it comes from, and that's what we want to take it back. Wow.